You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Camp.
Good morning. Then the scripture reading, Colossians 1, 16 through 20. For in him, or for by him, were thee all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers, or all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Father, we just pray you had your reading, the blessing to your reading of your holy word here, and we thank you for the scriptures as we come together, and we just praise your name, for it's in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. All right, well, it's Father's Day, and special blessing, Derek, let me know way in advance that I would have Father's Day. And it seems to be a common thing, because he's given me Father's Day before, so I had a lesson prepared. This is great. Made a few changes to it, but I think it's a blessing to go through it again, and so we'll start there. Let's open up with prayer, and we'll get going. Father, we pause now, and Lord, we here in America, we're celebrating Father's Day, and a special day set aside for Father. But Lord, we know that you, as the Heavenly Father, have set aside things for us and prepared a way with your Son, Christ, that we might have eternal life in him and to be redeemed and reconciled and justified in Christ, that we might have a relationship with you. And what a special relationship that is, that as sons we can call you Father. And we just thank you for the operation that Christ and the forgiveness of sins we have in him, and the position we have to be able to be seated with you in glory. So now as we come together here, we set aside time just to celebrate Father's Day, most of all the Heavenly Father, who has just continued to bless us, and we thank you for that. So we pray for the lesson now, that it gives glory to you and your Son Christ as we celebrate Father's, and for this in Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Well, I thought it was interesting in the scripture reading today, Colossians chapter 1 here, and in verse 19, it pleased the Father that in Christ all fullness should dwell. What an incredible picture of the Godhead here, that it pleased the Father. You know, there, as I was thanking Carter for doing the offering, it pleases me. And so, you know, a father and a son relationship, when he gives instruction and ultimately sees a response to that and growing in maturity of certain callings there, the pleasure that a father takes in a son is really, really a blessing. And you really don't know that till you have children. You think you know it. You know, you have a father, you know, as a father-son relationship, from a son's perspective, the father can do no wrong. Until about a certain age when everything he does is wrong, right? And then it balances out in the end where you realize, well, he does some things right and some things wrong, and he's human just like the rest of us. You know, if you look in Scripture, and I'll take you to your handout. I had lots of verses we're going to cover, but instead of forcing you to do Bible aerobics to flip, I have them actually in your handout, so it'll be somewhat convenient to look at these scriptures with me. But in John 3:35, it absolutely declares that the Father loves the Son. He loved him so much. What did he do? He gave all things into his hand. I mean, that's pretty significant. And what did he give into his hand? Well, salvation, redemption, justification. Next verse there in verse 36, the fact that he put all things in his hand, consequently, if you believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. But if you don't believe on him, you're not going to see life. And unfortunately, you're going to see the wrath of God on that person who does not believe in the Son. So that love that the Father has for the Son is declared certainly throughout Scripture. And the next part is, I thought, it's interesting how a son takes direction from a father. And that's exactly how how God established the family relationship, is that children, as they grow, are absolutely dependent on their parents to bestow on them understanding of many things, most of all the Word of God and a relationship with the Heavenly Father. We see in Matthew 26 here an example of how the Son taking direction from the Father. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. So in the context of this scripture, here you have the Lord almost to the point where He's betrayed and then taken into hands in the last 12 hours of being here on earth before He's crucified. And He's in Gethsemane. And in verse 38 we see His soul is exceedingly sorrowful under death. He's really stressed out. So if any time the Son was going to perhaps vary off course or maybe go things His own way, is when the heat in the kitchen's turned up pretty high. Because when you're given instruction, it's pretty easy when you're not under the gun. But when you're under the gun, this is when you think, do I really want to still stay the course, or do I, I'm just going to go my own route because it's easier? Or, you know, how many times have we done that as a son given instruction or a child given instruction? But what does He say here in verse 39? He says a prayer. He says, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless," He says, "not My will, but Thou wilt." Obedience. We know the scripture says obedience is better than sacrifice. So it could have been that Jesus here could have said, you know what, I'm not going to take this route, but I'll find the nearest scapegoat and we'll do some good Old Testament sacrifices. No, He didn't. He said, "not My will, but Thy will." Look at verse 41. He's telling Peter and those with Him, He says, "Watch and pray, enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." What an interesting statement there. You know, it's often, I've looked at that passage and I said, is my spirit willing? What about the converse there? Is my flesh strong and my spirit weak? That seems to be more common than not, right? The old story of whoever you feed the most will be the strongest if you put two dogs in a wrestling match. Which do we feed the most? Do we feed the Spirit, the Word of God, fellowship, prayer? Do we feed the flesh? Well, the Lord here said He knew the Spirit indeed is willing, but He was in the flesh. You know, He's a perfect man. He had the temptation, but He didn't act upon it. Verse 42. Here He says again, a second time, pray, "My Father, this cup pass My way, except I drink it. Thy will be done." He came back and saw His disciples asleep again. And in the verse 44, He went away again and prayed the third time, and He said the same words. Three times He said, "not My will, but Thine." So then He came back to the disciples and He saw them. He said, "Sleep now, take rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is to be betrayed in the hands of sinners." You know, what a test. But yet, the Son here demonstrating obedience to the Father, taking direction from the Father. An act of love, no doubt. And an act that not only was love for the Father, but love for us, too. This is what's amazing is the Father and the love that He had for fellowshipping with us sacrifices His own Son. This is incomprehensible to me, a father of two. I'm not about to even consider sacrificing my son for anything. Yet, there may be times when you have to send your sons and daughters off to war for the love of the country. I mean, it's a price that is incomprehensible. Yet, the Son being obedient to the Father. You know, we know that every authority is under authority and that God the Father is the ultimate authority. Look at John chapter 10 here, verse 17. It says, "Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life, that I might take it again. No man takes it from Me, but I lay down it Myself. I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to take it again." See, when He went to the cross, the Lord had put, we saw back up in John 3:35, see, the Lord had given all things into the hand of the Son. Yet the Son chose obedience over the wielding of power to have His own way.
this commandment, he said, he received his Father. His Father gave him the power to lay it down. When he went to the cross and he said, it is finished, it is done, he died of his own free will for us and for the love of the Father. No doubt that's why he said in Colossians, it pleased the Father that in him, in Christ, that all should all the fullness dwell. John 15:9-10, it says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He kept his Father's direction. He demonstrated his love for the Father by keeping that. One thing about the Son is that he knew the Father was there for him. In Gethsemane, back when he was to be betrayed, and they showed up, Matthew 26:51, he says, behold, one of them, which were Jesus, stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. And Jesus said unto him, put up again the sword into its place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And look at verse 53. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? See, the Son knew the Father was there for him. What's a legion? You know, a legion is about 6,000 troops. And if you do the math, 12 times 6,000 gives you about 72,000 angels at the drop of a dime. Or at that time, whatever the coinage was, right? But drop of a hat. Instantly, the Lord would have given him those angels. Now, if it were me, I would have kind of enjoyed that. To, show some people who was boss. You know, ever had that feeling? I saw the movie, Passion of the Christ, and, when the priests were sitting there smoting him, I was like, can we just call maybe two or three of those 12,000 angels? You know, how strong is an angel? Well, look there in 2 Kings 19:35. There was one case where there was a battle going on, and one angel, the angel of the Lord, one angel, went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 104 score, that's 145,000. So let's see, if one angel can take out 145,000, what's 72,000 angels going to do for you? You had some serious authority at the snap of your fingers. But the Son knew the Father was there. Yeah, that's not what it was all about. The patience demonstrated by the Father to let the plan work out through his Son was just incomprehensible. Yet we see it here so vividly, that this relationship, that the love that the Father had for the Son and that the Godhead had for us, demonstrated in that relationship, is just unbelievable. See, the Son knew the Father loved him. Do we tell our sons that we love them often enough? Probably not. How do we say it? Do we say it in words? Do we say it in deeds? John 17. Here we see Jesus saying a prayer. I call this the true Lord's Prayer. This is when he was praying. Praying to his Father. He lifted his eyes up and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thou Son may also glorify thee. You know, we've often talked about a son when he goes out and represents the family. That he represents the family. Your actions, wherever they are, have consequences on the family. And the Son knew that. And here he knew that thou hast given him power of all flesh, that he should give eternal life as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that thou mayest know the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He said, I've glorified thee on earth. I've finished the work which thou gave me to do. His actions demonstrated his love and his obedience for the Father. Verse 5, and now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Look where that love, you know, that didn't just start there on, you know, when he became a babe and grew up to be the man he was. It started before the foundation of the world. The Father, the Godhead, the Father and Son had this relationship. And he's sitting here saying, you know, I know you love me. because I love you. And you love me so much that you gave this love to the world, that everybody who also loves me should also see the Father. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the world, foundation of the world. The Father's love is incredible. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. There's a song that I think Stephen Curtis Chapman sings. It says, it's all about love. That's it. It's all about love. All right, well, when did God show His love for us? He showed His love for the Father here before the foundation of the world. Well, you know, it's interesting. When God made man, He made Adam and gave him a free will. He gave him a free will to choose right and wrong in order to demonstrate His love for God. Let's go back in time a little bit. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And when God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle on all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou must eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou shalt eatest, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept and took of his ribs and flesh. And then He made woman. And verse 24, therefore this man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh, establishing the family and the proper marriage relationship. Now, this passage here, I often thought, Genesis 2:15 through 18 especially, the Lord God gave Adam one commandment, one requirement for obedience, one condition for fellowship. Now, He gave him some responsibilities. He gave him, you know, dress the garden, keep it. But you know, He didn't say, if you don't dress the garden and keep it, you're going to surely die. But He gave him one specific commandment here about don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why did He do that? You know, if the Lord had not given that condition, they'd still be there having fellowship in the garden with lots of little Adams running around. He gave that condition because in order for man to have free will, there has to be a choice. Without a choice, there's no free will. You would have had a captive relationship without the affection and the love that a father would have for a son. We know that God enjoyed fellowshipping with Adam, because later we're going to see when God shows up to have that fellowship that Adam and Eve hide because they've sinned. And now they know what it is to be naked, and they hid themselves. And how sad that day must have been. But, you know, God's God. He knew this was going to happen. Why even go through the effort? Because in the end, it pleased the Father that in Him all things, the fullness, should dwell in Christ. See, there is a group of people, Christians, who are members of the body of Christ, that have that relationship with the Father that He so much enjoys. And that's in His Son, Christ. And yet, there's a lot of long way around the barn, they say here in Oklahoma, to get there, because here in Adam created in 4004 B.C. and Christ born in 4 B.C., 29 A.D. at the crucifixion, and then here we are in 2004 A.D., 6,000 years of human history. Yet God the Father has given a lot of people an opportunity to have that relationship with Him in Christ. So here we are in the garden. That one condition, had He never put that restriction on him, that free will would not have been there, so that special relationship, that loving relationship would not have existed. God knew the risk, yet He wanted to have that loving Father relationship with His creation. So we see in Genesis 3:8, They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife, what did they do? They hid themselves. It's funny how a son, if he does something wrong, does he greet you at the door at the end of the day really quick? Usually he's back in his bedroom with the door shut, pretending to work on homework, right? It's funny, the little things, coming home at the end of the day, it's a real blessing to walk in the door and have the your kids come up and say, "Dad, I'd be real excited to have you home." Well, just those little things just mean so much. I could imagine what the Lord felt when he would fellowship with Adam. Yet that day when he showed up, he said to Adam, "Where are you?" And Adam said he was afraid. He was naked. He hid himself. And he said, "Well, who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the tree?" It gave him an opportunity to confess. And he was God. He knew what happened. "Did you eat it?" And the man said, "Well, the woman gave it to me. It's her fault." He immediately learned how to pass the buck, didn't he? Just like the older son. "Did you do this?" "It was Clayton's fault." It was Clayton. Well, because of sin, because of that act, sin entered the world and then death by sin. Well, what's interesting is God had already prepared a way to recover to his loved ones when they were lost. He established Christ and his shed blood before the foundation of the world, before that day in the garden, and before Adam was created. The Godhead met and said, we're going to have a program here. And we're going to set something in motion. And there's going to, you know, since they knew the end from the beginning, they knew there was going to be a hiccup. So they had a plan. Ephesians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." Now that was before that Adam and Eve event in the Garden of Eden. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love." There's that. It's all about love, isn't it? It sure is. God, Ephesians 2, 4, "who's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are we saved. He raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." Now, why did he do all this? "That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." That love of a father just keeps on giving. "For by grace are we saved through faith, not of self. It's that gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Continuing Ephesians 3. "We are to make all see what is this fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world was hidden in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, to be known in the church, the manifold wisdom of God the Father." What's this eternal purpose? "Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might of his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God the Father." Boy, the love of the Father. God the Father created us for the joy and pleasure he gets from having a fatherly, loving relationship with us. He also provided us the means to love him back freely by giving us his Son as a Savior from our sins, for the ability to have eternal fellowship with him. And in the meantime, God gives us an earthly blessing through a family relationship, so we might even just get a glimpse of how the Father loves us. Revelation 4:11 says, "You know, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and why were they done? for thy pleasure they are and were created. He takes great pleasure in a fellowship with his sons, with his creation. And he's made way for that fellowship in Christ. Sin, though, truly separates us from the love of the Father. And the only way to restore a relationship with God is with the elimination of sins. And we know that we can't do that manually. We can't do that ourselves. We can only accept by faith that eternal gift of His riches that was in Christ. You know, the Scripture reminds us that we are shaped in iniquity, that in sin did my mother conceive me. You know, original sin is passed on from the man, because it was the man who originally sinned. We know the Romans wrote, seriously, all of sin comes short of the glory of God, whereby one man sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passes upon all men, all have sinned. And without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why would you have everlasting life? Because you're going to have a lot of fellowship for a long time with the Heavenly Father. You know, God sent His Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And he that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know, John 15, love one another as I have loved you, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, the love that Christ and the Father demonstrated by going to the cross was just incredible. When we were without strength in Romans 5:6, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Well, see, scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, the Father, committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son to die for us. Skip to page 7. We're not going to be able to go over every scripture, but you've got your hand out, so feel free to read it. The Son pleased the Father. Colossians chapter 1, starting verse 9. Paul is sitting here saying, He does not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that we walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, it's interesting. What is it that we can do that would please the Father? You know, we're in Christ. He sees us through Christ. So is it a done deal? Do we walk away and say, well, done, you know, just can't wait for that time I go see the Lord? Meanwhile, pass the remote and the popcorn. You know, I think what it is, it's simple. Go back to the Garden of Eden. Go back to the fellowship that, you know, Adam had the ability to walk with God. I mean, we're not walking with God physically. We're to walk with God spiritually. And in doing so, we see here that we're to walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. Well, why is that? We've been saved from His wrath. We're to be fruitful in every good work. We're not saved by works. We're to increase in the knowledge of God. Well, how do we do that? It's interesting. In the good works, in the fellowship, in the prayer, in the study of the Bible, of your own free will, it is that behavior that gives the grin on the Father's face, that you love Him enough to want to get to know Him better. That you want to get to know Him better. Do you have a long-distance relationship with your Father? Or do you have a short-distance relationship with your Father? It starts out, you know, a babe in Christ, a babe in the home. You see Him every day. Eventually, you leave the house. You grow on, you move on, you create your own family. You eventually get farther away from your earthly father. You know, as you grow up and you move on to your plans, you might move, take a job elsewhere. What about your heavenly father? Do you ever leave his house? Do you ever move away from home? You know, if you're raised in church and Sunday school, you know that you're supposed to, you know, memorize the scriptures, get to the Bible stories. But as you get older, do you, it's too busy and I'm working and just I'll get to it later. How often our earthly walk demonstrates with our Father and demonstrates sometimes our spiritual walk with the Heavenly Father, in that we don't have that fellowship where it should be. But yet here we should be strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience, long suffering, and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Why? Because He made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He delivered us from the power of darkness. He translated us in the kingdom of His dear Son. If I'm a king and I have a kingdom and I have a prince and I'm going to give my kingdom to my prince, He's invited everybody to partake in that kingdom. What an unselfish, unselfish act. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. He didn't hold anything back. If there's an inheritance that a father passes on to the son, does the father hold on to a little bit and gives the son just, you know? I know there's a car commercial, I believe, where they're sitting down, the will's being read, and they're passing out. And two of the children get, you know, riches untold. And the young son, who I guess is a rebel, gets some swamp land in, you know, Florida. And because, the other children are like, oh, poor guy, you know. He was all excited because he had a Jeep. He was going to be able to go out and drive his Jeep. Did he hold anything back? It pleased the Father that in Christ all fullness should dwell. And who did He give us? He gave us Christ. He couldn't have given anything more because He gave Himself. He made peace through the blood of His cross. By Christ He reconciled all things unto Himself, and by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or in heaven. Boy, what an incredible thing. We see in 2 Peter 1:17-18 that Christ received from God the Father honor and glory, and when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice came, which from heaven we heard, and we heard Him in the Holy Mount when He was getting ready to be transfigured. There's lots of scripture, particularly in Proverbs, that talks about the headship that God created in the family, that how the God puts the earthly father in position to impart wisdom to His children. Wise children will listen. He's not looking at me. But most of all, go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, page 9 there. Most of all, we can say today, Happy Father's Day from our Heavenly Father. Because we are therefore followers of God as dear children. We walk in love as Christ has loved us. He gave Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. And we have peace to ourselves, to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father. We have that love from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And grace be with all of us that love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. So amen on that. Let's close in prayer. Father, boy, lots of scripture that tells us that the love that You have for Your Son and us is just incomprehensible. That we are so grateful for that, Lord. And we often walk and probably don't demonstrate it nearly enough. And we just pray that on Father's Day we would recognize that the true blessing is in Christ as our eternal Savior, and that in Him we have a relationship with You, and that loving relationship that You would want to have with the Son. And we just thank You for that, and really appreciate everything You do. And help us just glorify Your Son, Christ Jesus, that we might share that that blessing with others. For it's in Christ's name we pray, and for His sake. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.